Welcome to another episode of the BisonReport.com podcast. I'm the publisher, Ryan Burns. And joining me, as always, is the Mr. Ross Uglum, one of the most elite Bison football and Bison athletic minds in all of America. Ross, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you saying that. We're getting ready to talk Southern Illinois versus North Dakota State in lovely Carbondale this fine weekend.
Yeah, I'm assuming that there's going to be a huge caravan of Bison fans going down there to support this team. And to start off things, why don't we just start with the injury report, Ross? I know that Kleiman talked a little bit about Bruce Anderson this week and Greg Menard. What's the latest going on there?
Yeah, when I was up at the press conference on Monday and Coach Kleiman spoke, it sounded like they had basically no concern on any injury that occurred during that game except the one to Menard. Bruce Anderson was nicked and maybe could have gone in the second half. They held him out for, honestly, what really sounded more like precautionary reasons than anything else. And so the only one that they have concern about is Menard. He's got a groin issue. He did not practice on Monday. And then, obviously, they don't release injury-related practice reports as the weeks go on. But the plan was for Menard to test what he could do during Wednesday's practice and Thursday's practice. And then, if anything, they hope to get him on a limited snap count on Saturday and maybe play, 25 to 30 snaps and rotate in with the guys that have been rotating in with him, but just kind of conserve him more than you would normally see.
So you're under the impression that both guys will be playing this Saturday?
It's too tough to tell. Just the way that it seems like things go with that NDSU training staff, and I'm not sure if it's good or maybe a little bit reckless, but guys always seem to come back on the shorter end of their timetable. So if they say he's questionable, I personally would predict that you'll see 15 to 20, 25 snaps out of Menard. At the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't go. So it is questionable, as he said.
All right, so, if Greg Menard can't go, let's talk about some of these young defensive ends, including Stanley Jones. I mean, what are you expecting to see out of them if Greg Menard is, less than 100% and he goes and tries to give it a go in pregame and it's just not there with his groin? What can we expect from these young guys?
Well, Stanley Jones has been the number one backup on the defensive end rotation. He's a redshirt freshman out of Bismarck, so he's a local kid or a hometown hero, and he's a very good player, but they like to use him on the left end more than they'd like to use him on the weak side as a pass rusher, and that's where Brad Ambrosius obviously plays, and Brad is healthy. The player that they'll be using quite a bit, I think, and is actually listed as the or starter on NDSU's 2-deep right now is Jared Tuska. He's a sophomore from Warner, South Dakota. His little brother Derek also actually plays on the team, is also a defensive end. And those guys will rotate also with Caleb Butler. He's a kid, a walk-on, that is from the Twin Cities area and has been rotating in a little bit at defensive tackle, but played quite a bit against Indiana State at defensive end. In fact, at the press conference, Kleiman mentioned that he played so well against Indiana State that he earned more reps than they maybe had slotted for him even after a Menard injury against the Sycamores. He played so well that they wanted to keep him in there and keep him going. So Tuska and Stanley Jones and Caleb Butler is where I would expect the extra reps to come from.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. So let's move to the offensive line, Ross. I know that they're getting healthier and they may be moving towards more of a rotation with all these guys coming back. What do you think that the offensive line is going to look like coming against Southern Illinois this weekend?
Well, I wrote a little bit about that, and I believe that came out on Tuesday of this week. The offensive line being really a strength of the program and a strength of this year's team coming into the season. You had Jesse Hines graduate, but Zach Johnson, who's an all-league guard, come back. And so they moved last year's left guard Austin Kuhnert into center, essentially giving the Bison five returning starters. Things didn't perfectly go to plan. Zach Johnson gets injured against Montana. The top backup, Jack Plankers, gets injured early in the year. And then Austin Kuhnert hurts his elbow against UNI, and all of a sudden you've got guys, you know, plugging in here and there, and offensive line continuity is always, you know, so important. Well, now that offensive line is getting healthier. Plankers is back. Kuhnert is back inside at center. And Zach Johnson is finally back from that ankle injury. And as you could see against Indiana State, getting much healthier, the Bison ran the ball a lot better against the Sycamores than they did the previous week in the loss to South Dakota. I think what you're going to see moving on, and Kleiman made mention of this, is that this is now going to turn into a rotation. Obviously, Joe Hag, he's a, you know, middle round NFL draft prospect at left tackle. He's an All-American. He's the best guy on the offensive line. You're not going to take him out for any reason. And with Austin Kuhnert at center, being responsible for those protection calls and audibles at the line, he's going to stay in on every play too. But what they'd like to do is get Plankers between 35 and 40 snaps. You know, obviously, NDSU would like to run about 70 plays. So you'd see Plankers in there more than half the time, taking 10 to 12 snaps from right tackle Landon Leckler, 10 to 12 snaps from right guard Jeremy Kelly, and 10 to 12 snaps from left guard Zach Johnson. That keeps the snap count down for those guys, and also allows Plankers, who's a real road grader in the run game at 6'7", 320, to become involved. And not only is it good to get Jack involved, and he is a very versatile player, but it is good to keep the snap count down for those other offensive linemen to kind of keep everybody fresh, especially if the offensive coaching staff is going to be determined to try and run the ball 57 times a game.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they're going to go with that game plan 2 weeks in a row, but I can tell you that I know that the coaching staff is trying to protect Easton Stick, obviously, you know, the redshirt freshman quarterback, and I know that they're trying to get him up to a certain standard, you know, in terms of passing this week. Ross, what are they trying to get from Easton?
Well, I think everybody was very impressed with Easton in his collegiate debut. Rushing for over 120 yards is obviously very impressive. So are the two rushing touchdowns. And he did throw a touchdown to former high school teammate R.J. Erzendowski. But at the end of the day, he was at 9 out of 20 passing. And the benchmark for Coach Hedberg and the offensive staff is 60%. Now, obviously, that's not, you know, the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to move the ball and to win the game. But as far as the statistical benchmark is concerned, they'd like to get Easton up to that 60% completion percentage and make him a little bit more efficient throwing the ball. Obviously, with as athletic as he is, if he can become a threat moving the ball through the air, that's going to be a huge deal for North Dakota State and their offense.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. So let's move on to – let's actually start previewing the Southern Illinois game a little bit, and that has to start with their head coach, Dale Lennon. Obviously, he is a North Dakota native from Knox, North Dakota, went to Rugby High School, and graduated from those dreaded unnamed North Dakota school up north.
The Fighting Hawks, it looks like.
I just still laugh about all those different nicknames compared to what they were, and it's just hilarious to me. And, you know, it's a good thing as an NDSU fan. But what can you tell us about Dale Lennon? Obviously, he is in his eighth season there. What are you expecting to see from the Salukis?
Well, Lennon, you know, is an interesting study. Obviously, he was the head coach at North Dakota, was the head coach for UND's only Division II national championship in the early 2000s there, and then bolted for Southern Illinois. I think part of the reason that he left was because of the athletic director, Roger Thomas, and him not wanting to go Division I. So, therefore, you know, obviously, Lennon wanted to go Division I and ended up in Southern Illinois, and he has underwhelmed. And in fact, many people thought that after last year, you know, Lennon would be a guy possibly looking for a new job. So this season has kind of been a trial run for the former North Dakota head coach, and it hasn't gone super great. In fact, he has four losses by a combined 8 points this season. And if they lose to North Dakota State at home this weekend, you would have to think that that pretty much eliminates the possibility of postseason play. And you might see Southern Illinois go in a different direction at the head coaching position. So, it, like I said, this is a big, big Saturday for Dale Lennon.
I think it's a big Saturday for both sides, absolutely. So what do you think about NDSU's offense when they have the ball? What do they have to do to continue being successful on that side?
You know, well, we talked about last week in those 57 rushing attempts, and while I have no problem, you know, with running the ball, and Bison football has long been a program where the Rams up front, you know, block down and trap and power left, power right, power up the middle, I appreciate that heritage, but at the same time, Easton Stick's a very talented quarterback, and when you become predictable, no safeties start to creep up. I don't care how good your offensive line is, they're not going to be able to block 8 or 9 defenders in the box. It's just not feasible. There aren't enough bodies. So NDSU has to open up the offense, I think, a little bit to get it done against Southern Illinois this week, and I'd like to see Easton Stick maybe go from that 20 passing attempts up to 25, 26, 27. I don't want to see the Bison throwing the ball 35 times a game because that's just not Bison football. But opening up the offense a little bit for Stick and letting him maybe try and throw a few more balls downfield as opposed to the screens and the comebacks that he was trying to throw last week. And in fact, one of those comeback routes actually got him picked off. It'd just be interesting to see if they let the redshirt freshman open things up a little bit against a Southern Illinois defense that really has not played well this season.
No, they haven't at all, and that's where you and I both believe that if you know things are really going to get going, it's going to be because of this offense. And so, why don't we switch to the defensive side of the ball for when the Salukis are on offense? What do you think NDSU has to do to be successful there?
Well, you know, a big part of what NDSU has to do is stopping that no-huddle offense. And I think that the biggest successes this season against the Bison D have been from no-huddle offenses. Offenses getting up to the line. You see a lot of NDSU defenders looking back at their sideline, trying to get a call, trying to get into position. Not that they're incapable of defending the no-huddle offense, but it seems like when the Bison defense is able to make substitutions and huddle up and get the play in from Coach Entz, they're just a much more effective unit. And I think that is a big deal as far as this Bison defense is concerned.
Yeah, and, you know, moving on to the, you know, the second week in a row you get to deal with a little bit of a rushing quarterback, Ross. I mean, do you think barring the, you know, long run against Indiana State last weekend, they did pretty well. But again, they did have the 81-yard touchdown run. And with Southern Illinois having another running quarterback, what do you think the key is there?
Well, it's always scary when you look in the season-long box score and you see the quarterback leading the team in rushing when you're a Bison fan, just because, like I said last time you and I spoke, ever since that national championship game against Illinois State, when Trey Roberson got loose, this Bison defense has struggled protecting the running quarterback. And lo and behold, Southern Illinois' leading rusher is Mark Iannotti, the quarterback. Now, part of that has to do with the fact that this is a wide-open offense that runs the no-huddle. And, you know, they don't have anybody that any backs that have even carried the ball more than 60 times. So they're either throwing it or the quarterback's running it. At the same time, this Bison defense needs to be able to key quarterback, especially in those zone read looks. And that's what's been the problem. And a lot of that, honestly, is safety play. Chris Board, Robbie Grimsley, Trey Dempsey, these are guys that are very inexperienced. Grimsley's a true freshman. Dempsey played corner last year, and Chris Board was exclusively on special teams last year. So these are guys that the way the Bison play defense are usually responsible to tackle the quarterback, and right now they're just not getting the job done.
No, and it's something that needs to improve, absolutely. But I have a question for you on how do you think that NDSU keeps the momentum going from the game last week? And obviously there was a lot of emotion being shown from this Bison team as a lot of people were like, oh, you know, Carson Wentz is out now 6 to 8 weeks. The Bison aren't going to be what they used to. And they showed up and they got it done again at Indiana State last weekend. How do you think they can keep that momentum going into this weekend's game against Southern Illinois?
Well, that is a good point because Indiana State and Southern Illinois just played each other, and Indiana State won 39-36. Obviously, Southern Illinois scored a lot, Indiana State scored a lot, but the Bison were basically able to shut down the Sycamores. I mean, we talked in the recap show, 8-3 and outs, that's impressive work. 14 points allowed, that's impressive work as well. So if the Bison can do to Southern what they did to Indiana State, that'd be a big feather in their cap as they move towards the end of the season and back home to the Fargo-Dome for a big one against Western Illinois. It's important to keep this defensive momentum going. It looked like it was trending in that direction, especially after the Northern Iowa win when the defense didn't play well and they kind of escaped. But then, you know, it all hit the fan against South Dakota and the Bison lost what would almost, you know, be considered an embarrassing game to USD. It's important to maintain the defensive momentum and shut down Southern Illinois in the same way that they shut down Indiana State so they can set up that big game against Western in the Fargo Dome.
So all that being said, what do you believe, what is your prediction for the game against the Salukis this weekend? Do the Bison come out on top once again?
Well, I think they win, and I've been kind of oscillating between the blowout victory that I should have predicted last week and didn't, and the close win on the road that my brain is kind of telling me to select. And I'm actually going to go with the former. I'm going to take NDSU 31-17 and another two-touchdown win. I think that Southern is going to be able to get things going, but at the same time, as the Bison offense gets more and more comfortable with Easton Stick, against what's been a pretty bad Southern Illinois defense, they should really be able to get things rolling on offense. So my prediction for the final score this week is going to be Bison 31, Salukis 17.
Interesting. I'm going to go along those same lines. I got NDSU 31, but I got the Salukis at 20. I think that there's going to be a couple of big plays, and I am going to go on the record saying I think the Bison have a play over 60 yards against the Saluki defense, whether that's Easton Stick, you know, connecting with any of his wide receivers there, or Bruce Anderson, your guy, Bruce Anderson, you know, getting loose and going 60-plus. So both of us have NDSU going. Do you have any final thoughts here before we wrap up the podcast?
I do not.
Sounds good. Well, again, we thank you guys for listening. You can check out all the amazing work that Ross does for the NDSU Scout site at NorthDakotaStateScout.scout.com or BisonReport.com. You can check out all the amazing work that he does on Twitter at Ross Uglum. You can follow me, Ryan Burns, at RyanBurnsMN. And you can follow the Scout site itself at NDSU on Scout. So, again, for Ross, for I, we thank you guys for listening, and go Bison. We'll